This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 21st, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. Over and above whether or not it should be banned or carved out as some special category of unprotected speech, do we actually need hate speech? Lou Perez is the producer of a new short film for We the Internet TV, Five Reasons We Need Hate Speech. We spoke last week. One of the big concerns that I have, that I think many libertarians have, and I spoke with Matthew Feeney here at the Cato Institute about this recently, and that is there seems to be a growing bipartisan agreement about restricting speech on all manner of platforms, be they Facebook, Twitter, Google, Amazon. And, of course, hate speech figures prominently for a lot of people. And just in the last month, there have been multiple pieces published in major newspapers saying the First Amendment's not all that great. And more recently, in the Washington Post, we need a hate speech law.
Yeah. One of those articles was in the Washington Post, and it was written by a former member of the Obama administration, and then also I think he was an editor for Time. And I think he opened that piece by saying when he was traveling around the world, even hip Arab diplomats, I don't know if you use the word hip, but he
sophisticated,
you know, they were saying, I can't believe that you would allow the burning of the Quran. And that somehow got this guy thinking about, hey, you know what, maybe there should be limits on our First Amendment. And just that idea that you may have been speaking to people who are from countries that restrict many freedoms outside of just freedom of speech, and that would have you rethink the whole institution, the whole protection there is a little scary.
What do young people generally think about hate speech?
Well, one of the reasons that I started, you know, getting into hate speech. I started getting into hate speech early on. Was I just kept hearing hate speech being used as sort of a go-to refrain to shut down speech, and you would have a lot of young people saying like, "Oh no, no, there's free speech, but then there's hate speech, and hate speech is not protected." And I felt like it was really necessary to just correct the record and say like, "No, no, hold on, you might not like it, but it is protected, and we need at least that foundation to talk about." And a journalist, Jesse Singel, actually wrote an article in New York Magazine a while back calling out academics in particular by saying like, hey, you know, you should be correcting your students when, you know, if they want to, you know, protest somebody, just so, you know, they're protesting with armed with the truth behind them. And, you know, from there, you know, it's sort of hate speech has just been sort of a tool that you can just whip out anytime you want to just shut somebody down.
Well, yeah, it's certainly a pejorative, but the implication is by a lot of these people is that there is this line that we can easily and quickly draw around a certain set of words that are not threats, that are not incitement necessarily, but it seems pretty clear that hate speech is, I know it when I see it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. And, you know, if you could just look across the pond to Europe to see how that is playing out for them. Like Nadine Strossen, a former president of the ACLU, she has her book called Hate, and she makes an appearance in our documentary, Five Reasons Why You Need Hate Speech. And one of the examples that she gives is in France, somebody was prosecuted and convicted for using the term homophobe to describe a homophobe because the word homophobe was deemed hate speech. And, you know, what becomes clear is that the very people who are arguing for these laws, as nebulous as they are going to get caught up. They're going to get caught up in it. It's going to be they're the ones who are going to perhaps suffer the most, especially if you're marginalized or a minority community and if there aren't that many of you.
So that's a pretty provocative title, Reasons You Need Hate Speech, because I don't feel like I need it at all.
I don't know, man. What's your morning like? What's your morning routine? How much hate speech is part of your morning routine? We definitely know that the title is a provocative one. Hopefully it gets some clicks on it. But ultimately, when you're living in a world where so much can be deemed hate speech, ultimately what you find is, well hold on, we actually need some of that speech that has been deemed hate speech or hateful.
Okay. So you mentioned that people sort of do get this wrong. I guess I can remember, was it Howard Dean getting this wrong on Twitter, saying, well, hate speech isn't protected? I mean, really, really prominent people who frankly ought to know better, making this fairly bold claim that this is just not something that the First Amendment protects.
Yeah, I remember Howard Dean. I remember Chris Cuomo had a few tweets about that, and apparently he's a lawyer, which I think is kind of scary. And I think ultimately it's something where a lot of people don't know what protections they have, constitutional protections to begin with, let alone what their free speech protections are. That's when you start combining things like where you're like, well no, it's hateful speech. Hate speech is not allowed. You can't incite violence and all that. It's like, yeah, that's already a category that is not protected. Quit trying to combine these things.
So, this misunderstanding, as pervasive as it is, there is a group of, I don't know, I think it's young people primarily, who have gone one step further and largely equated words with violence and treat, I assume, hate speech as that broad category, have said this effectively is violence and use that to justify actual violence.
Yeah, that, and I think that might be the scariest part of all, because basically what you're doing is you're justifying any assault that you want to make on somebody. It's like, oh, well, someone, said this, therefore I'm allowed to hit them. And it gets particularly tricky when, I'm sure you've had this experience where there's a public figure, an academic, a writer, or something like that, and people are saying, oh, that person is a white supremacist, that person is a racist, that person is a fascist. And you know, because you've seen their work, well, that's not what they are at all. So then you now put this person in a position where they now have that mark on their back. Well, a bunch of people calling you a fascist, therefore I could just hit you, right? And as somebody who, I'm active online and on Twitter and all that, sometimes I'll see things written about me come across, where I had a recent thing on Twitter where a guy called me alt-right. And it was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not, I don't believe in a white ethno state. What is it? He's like, okay, whatever. You're not alt-right. You're alt-light. And it's like, oh, well, thank you for that correction. I really appreciate that. I hope, the few people who saw, you call me alt-right, don't actually take it upon themselves to enact justice on me.
And by the same standard of defining hate speech fairly broadly as a category that does not have any hard and fast definitions, that slur might qualify it as hate speech.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Give me the lineup of the people that you talk to for your film.
So in the film, we have Nadine Strossen from the ACLU, Jesse Singel, who's a journalist. He writes often for The Atlantic, as well as New York Magazine. Zachary Wood, who was an activist on college campuses about his big thing was trying to foster conversation. Angela Nagel, who is a journalist herself. She's the author of Kill All Normies. And Glenn Greenwald as well makes an appearance via Skype. He was in Brazil at the time. And we really wanted to reach out to members of the left to be a part of this, because nowadays it seems like so much free speech stuff is kind of been co-opted by the right. And it's like, you see, if you're on the right, you're for free speech. And then people start thinking, well, wait a minute, if I'm for free speech, I don't want people to think that I'm on the right. And we wanted to show, no, this is actually a really important topic that everybody should agree on, you know, because everybody is at risk of getting caught up in this.
The quote that sticks out with me, which he made here, Greg Lukianoff of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education makes this point, which is, how am I better off for not knowing what you really think about something? And to the extent that hate speech is a pejorative, to the extent that there are laws that attempt to either define it or enshrine it as some category that will single you out for some specific sanction, people are they go underground and take those thoughts and maybe express those thoughts with people who are less or more unsavory than the general public, or they shut up. And maybe that their feelings of animosity go away, or maybe it gets worse. But as a principle, freedom of speech kind of does separate the United States from almost everywhere else on the planet.
Oh yeah, yeah. There is, you know, no other place that enjoys, you know, the freedoms that we have, especially when it comes to freedom of speech. And on, you know, on that note about, you know, people either, you know, shut up or you sort of cede the argument to extremists, people who aren't going to care about being called racist or whatever. And it is scary when you think of the chilling effect that it has on discourse, and then also on serious investigation into important matters. Because if you think about it, you know, you hear about college campuses and you hear about, oh, so-and-so was shouted down or so-and-so was deplatformed. What you don't hear about are, you know, all the people who didn't even speak up in the first place because they're like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with this. I don't want my words to be twisted or for me to bring up a topic or say the wrong thing and then be deemed, you know, sort of an untouchable. And you know, what is that going to mean for, you know, really important conversations, not only on what it means to be human, but also advancement in studies as well. And I would really like people to start reading beyond the headline, beyond the provocative title. I know that Five Reasons Why We Need Hate Speech is a provocative title, but I hope they'll take the time to actually watch the documentary and see that the arguments that we lay out there. And I think we'd all be better off by giving one another the opportunity to make our arguments and then challenge those arguments and possibly challenge ourselves and how we respond to them.
Lou Perez is head writer and executive producer of We the Internet TV. His new film is Five Reasons We Need Hate Speech. We spoke last week. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.